I've suffered from it. Just about everybody I know speaks about suffering from it. Brain fog, COVID fog, call it. There are lots of different phrases that people use, but we don't think as clearly. We don't remember as clearly as we think we did before the pandemic hit us in the beginning part of last year. Fascinating article about this in the Guardian newspaper, and one of the scientists quoted, Catherine Loveday, joins us now, principal lecturer in cognitive neuroscience at the University of Westminster. Professor Loveday, good afternoon.
Afternoon, lovely to be here.
What's happening in my head and in many other heads?
Well, it's very interesting. I don't think the same thing is happening to everybody. So part of our research is trying to work out why it's impacting on some people more than others. But it certainly is affecting people, and there are lots of people who are reporting it. So in a survey that we're sort of carrying out at the moment, it's looking like for some aspects of memory, people, you know, 50 to 60% of people are saying that they are struggling and things are getting worse. And we think there's lots of reasons for this. So part of it is a reduced social interaction. Some of it is that a lot of people are obviously not out and about as much and not moving around so much. But also an awful lot of it is, I think, a lack of novelty, a lack of new things. And our brains are kind of designed or have evolved to respond to something new. You know, when something happens, we turn our heads and we react to it. And if nothing new is happening, and our days are very samey, and even our environment's very samey, our brains tend to kind of drift off a little bit. So those are some of the reasons, but I think also, you know, some people are quite anxious and worried about things and maybe even a little bit down, and that will also massively impact on our cognitive function.
All of the above for me. Yeah, I mean, that thing of novelty. I have been able to, because journalistic work, the work that I do, was classified as essential from the very beginning of our various levels of lockdown. So I've been able to leave my home and come through to the studio every working day. But every working day for 6 or 7 months was an almost exact repeat of the previous working day. And there was very little social interaction beyond the interaction that I have every day with my producer and with my technical person. So, yeah, that lack of novelty is a big thing.
Yeah, and what we're hearing people say is that every day kind of seems the same. So one of the things that people are particularly reporting is not being able to say whether something happened 2 days ago or whether it happened a week ago or what day it happened on, because of this, you know, everything being very, very similar. People are finding it hard to distinguish between different things, and it's also affecting people's time perception. So, you know, for some people, it feels like the last year has gone by in an age. But actually, when we're asking people to say how long ago did something happen, it's almost like this year doesn't exist. It's almost like people have compressed it in their mind into something which means that 2016 feels, you know, like 2017. It's almost like there's a year missing in our history.
Is this at the kind of level of, I don't know what phrasing to use, emotional cognition, or is there something neural happening, some kind of rewiring or dewiring happening?
Yeah, so this is, I think, a really important question. My gut reaction, if you ask me, is that there aren't any permanent changes happening to most of us. I do think that there may be some people who already suffer from cognitive difficulties, particularly, for example, with those who have dementia or other long-term health conditions, where maybe there are longer-term sort of permanent changes happening. And also people who've obviously experienced COVID and have long COVID, we don't know what's happening in those people. But I think for most of us, for the majority of us, it's almost just like the brain is slightly in hibernation. So I don't think for most of us we will see long-term changing in the wiring of our brains, but we do need that stimulation, and we do need to be creative, and we do need to be out and about. You know, we've evolved to be creatures that move around our environment, and moving around our environment kind of stimulates areas like the hippocampus, which store our memories. And it's really interesting. It does that because from an evolutionary point of view, if you go out into the wild, you need to be able to find your way home again. So from an evolutionary point of view, our brains wake up when we go out and about. So it is possible that there'll be, you know, some minor changes and you know, that the brain does kind of almost shrink slightly. We don't know, but I think it'll all come back again. That's my instinct based on what we know of all the science.
I've just got a WhatsApp message in from a listener, a primary school teacher, and Tamara writes, there's definitely COVID fog present in our learners. We find it mainly due to lack of interaction and lack of physical activity, which is exactly what you've just been saying to me.
Yeah, the physical activity, we should never underestimate that. I mean, the research now for being physical is really important. There's so much now to suggest that it stimulates sort of neurogenesis in our brain, which is the growth of new brain cells and the growth of connections in our brain cells. And any kind of exercise makes a difference. But it, for me, that was one of the first things that I did when lockdown hit. I thought I have to find a way to make sure I'm exercising and moving every day, because I just know how much difference it makes to brain function. And children in particular, you know, I've seen it with my two, you know, they've been sat in front of a computer relentlessly. They're not moving about and they're not interacting and they're not stimulating their brain cells, basically.
Yeah, I mean, here's another listener, Priscilla. I'd never had brain fog before in my life, but now I cannot remember or recall things that happened a few days ago. I lost a court case due to mixing up my facts or forgetting completely. I came across in the court as a complete liar. I could only cry in response. I mean, that's a particularly dramatic example. Mm. And the best way to deal with this, if lack of variety is a significant causal element, is to, within the limitations of your particular situation, both in terms of, you know, COVID regulations and your own personal situation, is to seek out variety.
Yeah, and I think for some people that's really, really difficult. You know, some people are very constrained, and this is one of the things that our research is looking at, is the inequity in the fact that some people do have the opportunity to do that and others don't. But what, I guess one of the things I'm suggesting to people is that even if you are just in one room, then maybe just change the pictures you've got up or move things around a little bit, just so that, you know, March looks different to January, for example. And I think also we shouldn't underestimate, I mean, I feel very sorry for Priscilla. That's a really difficult situation and very distressing, I think. But I think we shouldn't underestimate the emotional impact. So, I mean, you asked earlier on whether this was an emotional thing or whether it's a physical thing. And actually, emotions are incredibly physical. Everything about an emotional response is physical and can be measured when we look at heart rate and we look at chemicals in the blood and in the brain and so on. So long-term sort of isolation and long-term stress and worry does impact on our brain function. It changes the brain chemistry. It causes or can lead to sort of inflammation in the brain, you know, not low-level inflammation, not something that is going to kind of kill you or anything, but low levels of inflammation, which impact on the way the cells are working and impact on how we feel and how we behave and how we think and the speed that we think at as well.
Thank you very much. I think that was a fascinating conversation. I hope listeners did as well. Professor Catherine Loveday, Principal Lecturer in Cognitive Neuroscience at the University of Westminster.